الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين We were talking about in the previous class about the ahkam of tahalli using the washroom. The rulings about using the toilet and we must remember that while using the toilet it is first of all it is wajib to cover while using the toilet cover the private parts That means we are not supposed to use the toilet in a way where the private parts are exposed to others. This is the first wajib to remember. And the second thing is, and the private parts when it comes to the men is only the front and the back. So for the woman, the private parts is their entire body. Other than the face, which is wajib to wash in the wudu, and the two hands below the wrists. Everything else falls in the private parts. Al-mar'atu kulluha awratun. How Shahid Sani rahmatullah alayhi says in Sharh al-Lum'a, Al-mar'atu kulluha awratun. So the whole body of a woman is considered to be like a private part. So like I said, other than the face which is wajib to wash in wudu and the two hands below the wrists, the whole body has to be covered. For the man, it's just the front and the back. This is wajib during using the toilet. Second of all, we need to take care of the this ruling that we should not do istiqbal al-qibla or istidbar al-qibla. That means turning towards Makkah, Qibla, or turning your back towards Qibla. This is not allowed. We have to make sure when we are sitting in the toilet it should not be facing towards the Qibla or we are not turning our back towards the Qibla. Facing means your chest, your front of the body, your face, your chest, the front part of the body, your stomach, your chest, your face. This front part of the body should not be towards the Qibla. And your back should not be towards the Qibla either. These are the two basic rulings which are required to take care. Some of the toilets in some houses are facing Qibla, unfortunately, because the society is not an Islamic society. So when you purchase a house or you are renting a house where you find your toilet is facing towards the Qibla in the apartment or in the house that you purchased, or it is facing backwards, you know, or you have to face, you have to turn your back towards the Qibla, the toilet is made like this in your house, then let's suppose this is the seat of the toilet, for example, okay, and it is made such that it is facing towards the Qibla, or is turning, it's you know, your if you sit like this, your back will be towards the Qibla, in that case you sit like this, sideways, okay, like this, or you sit like this, sideways. So make sure that you are not facing towards the Qibla, or you're not turning your back towards the Qibla. These are two basic rulings which are necessary when we are using the toilet. There are four places where it's haram to use the toilet. First of all, haram to use the toilet. Where are those four places where it's haram to use the toilet? First of all, where the owner did not allow. Malik and the owner did not allow. It will be considered as ghasb, usurping, using tasarruf fi mal ghair is haram bidun al izn. At tasarruf fi mal al ghair, that means using of or something in something that belongs to someone else without the permission is not allowed in Islam. So this will be tasarruf fi mal al ghair if you use the toilet of a person's house or shop without the owner's permission. That's not allowed. Second of all, in a blind alley, in a dead end alley, in a dead end alley, it's not allowed to somebody to sit and use the toilet. He relieve himself in a dead end alley. That's not allowed in Islam. Third of all, in places which are specifically specifically assigned, if the toilet is specifically assigned for some specified people. For example, if you go to a madrasa and the toilet of the madrasa is assigned for the students of the madrasa only. So if you enter into a madrasa where the toilets are for the students only, so it is assigned for some specified people, you cannot use it, you are a visitor. If you happen to be in a place where the toilets are assigned for some specific people, then you cannot use it. Fourth of all, over the graves of the mu'mineen, if it is an insult. Over the graves of the mu'min people, if it is considered to be insult, which usually it is considered to be insult in almost most of the cases or almost all the cases, it is considered to be insultive. So we don't relieve ourselves over the graves. Yeah, please go ahead. If something is assigned for some specific people, usually I don't think my understanding is that There are toilets which are for either injured, disabled, or defected, or family members, even the family people who want to go with their child. So, my personal understanding is that in lots of cases, I don't think it is specifically assigned in some places, because I have personally seen so many people who are not disabled, they're normal people, they're going there and nobody objects on them. Even the officials, I've seen some of the officials entering into those toilets in some airports, you know. Obviously, we abide by the laws of the land, and if the law does not allow you to use it, obviously we will not use it. I think that would be the best answer to your question. If the law does not allow you to use it, then don't use it. Obviously, that would be illegal in that case. So, but if the law has a margin, it allows you, then it's okay. Allah Hafiz. So, in three cases, water cleaning is a must for the human feces. When you are washing yourself from the feces, in three cases it is compulsory to wash yourself with water, not with the toilet paper or stone or soil rocks, but necessarily with water. First of all, some najasat. Some najasat comes out with the feces. Second of all, in the case where some outer najasat reaches the makhraj, means let's suppose some blood drops from the outside, reaches from the outside, najasat comes out with the feces, sometimes the blood comes out. Okay, in that case, if the blood comes out, then you have to wash it, the feces, with the water. You cannot wash it, clean it with the toilet paper or stone or rocks made of soil. Or some outer najasat reaches the makhraj, in that case also you have to necessarily wash it with the water only. Third of all, in third situation where the feces has spread on the sides of makhraj. If the feces has spread to the sides of the makhraj, then now you cannot use the toilet paper any longer. You cannot use stone or rocks of soil. You have to, in all these three cases, you have to necessarily wash yourself now with water. If najasa did not come out with the along with the feces, and if some outer najasat like blood or something else did not reach the makhraj, and if the feces did not spread on the sides of the makhraj, then you are allowed to clean yourself with two toilet papers or two rocks or two soils. You can use it and clean yourself with that. That will be okay. But some of the maharaja have said you can, that will be okay, in the sense that you have, you can pray now with this. You clean yourself with rock or rock made of soil or stone or toilet paper. You cleaned yourself, there is no najasat remaining on the makhraj. Now you can pray, but when you find water, you have to do the tathir, you have to clean yourself again with the water. But you can pray with that much cleaning. Is that clear? If these three things are not there, then if one of these three things are there, then you cannot clean yourself with the toilet paper or with the soil, rocks made of soil, or with the stone. Now let's move to the next thing, which is about istibra, which is related to the ahkam of takhalli. Istibra. Istibra is a process of making sure that that there is no urine remaining in the urinary tract. This process is used after urinating. It is istibra in Islam is mustahab. That means recommended. Whenever we do the urine, it is recommended in Islam, we always do istibra. That means we do a process after urinating which helps us make sure that there is no urine remaining in the urinary tract. Okay, and the process is as follows. after we are done with urinating, what we do is that from the makhraj of feces, from the anal opening, we use the middle finger and stretch or rub it by pressing over the urinary tract. Pressing under the urinary tract. Till the testicles, and then from the root of this is how we squeeze it. With the middle finger, and thumb. And we repeat this process 3 times. And each time, after squeezing, if each time we push the head any drop of urine which is remaining, it will fall out. We squeeze it, we press it, and then we squeeze it, and each time we squeeze, at the end we push the head of the penis so that the drop of urine which is remaining comes out. This is a process we do every time we push it. So 3 times we do the whole thing every time we push it. This is mustahab. This is istibra. Every time after urinating we do that. The benefit of this process is as follows. Before we come to the benefit, let's learn about how many secretions the human being has. Rutubat that come out. First of all, is the urine, which we call al-bawl. Second of all, semen. The mani. Third of all, mazi. The fourth of all is al-wazi. And fifth of all, these are the 5 types of secretions, rutubat, that come out from a human being. So obviously the first two we all know are najis. The last three are not najis. Zatan itself, they are tahir, pak. But what happens is that when a person urinates and you do not do the istibra after urinating, then you cannot have yaqeen that the what is coming out among these three things is mixed with the urine or not. You cannot make sure. Maybe it is mixed, maybe it is not, because you did not do the istibra. Okay? Because we did not, if I don't do the istibra, I cannot make sure that the urine drops are not mixed with these three. In order to make sure, I do the istibra. Now, mazi is something that comes, before the money. And a transparent water that comes out before the money. And wazi is something that comes out after the money. And wadi is something that comes out after the urine. Okay? So if the benefit, let's go to the benefit now. If we do the istibra every time we urinate, the benefit is that after we do the istibra, any kind of secretion from these three comes out, it is considered to be tahir. You don't have to worry about that. It is tahir. Okay? Unless you are 100% sure urine is coming out, or you are 100% sure semen is coming out, then obviously it will be najis. But why would semen come out when you do the urine? Even urine doesn't come out like this after doing istibra. It does not come out like this. So what comes out usually is one of these three. So when one of these three is coming out and you did the urine, then you don't have to worry about whether there is some semen coming out with these three, so I have to do the ghusl again, or whether urine has come out with these three, so I have to wash myself again. You don't have to worry about those concerns. Whatever comes out from these three is tahir. Is that clear? That's the benefit of istibra. Ball means urine. Is this process clear on all of you? Should I erase this? If a person has shak, whether or not he did the istibra. Then he sees a rutubat, a secretion that will be considered, that rutubat that he sees, he doesn't know whether it's tahir or not, does not know it's tahir or not. The ruling says he must consider it, that means the rutubat, the secretion, to be najis, because he did not do the istibra. Okay? He must consider the rutubat, that he didn't know whether it's najis or not. Because he did not do the istibra, he must consider the secretion that comes out now to be najis. And the wudu, he has done, will be considered batil. Okay? And the second scenario is different. Second very common shak that may happen is if a person did the istibra has shak and doubt, the istibra that was done was correctly done or not. After doing the istibra, he has shak whether the istibra that he did was correctly done or not. And after the shak, some secretion or rutubat comes out. That he does not know it's tahir, pak, or not. The ruling says he should consider that rutubat to be he must consider that secretion, that rutubat, to be tahir, plus the wudu that he had done will remain valid. it will not become batil because he did the istibra. Is that right? These are the two possible scenarios that usually a person faces after doing istibra. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين.